thank you so much for tuning in to my good friend Matt Hammett today.
You're listening
to the Lead Me.
The Lead Me.
The Lead Me.
The Lead Me Lifecast.
Good intentions are not enough. These are the practical and spiritual things.
Who you are at home makes all the difference in the world.
I'm Matt Hammett, and thanks for listening to the Lead Me Lifecast. For those of you who've been listening to the Lead Me Lifecast for any amount of time, you'll notice that things sound a little different because you've heard some of the first 32 episodes that we've already done. I'm actually going to archive those episodes pretty soon, but I'll still have them in a place where you can access them or share them with friends if you want. As spring has come upon us, I've really thought a lot about revitalizing the show. I've thought a lot about the format and how I can have the greatest impact with the amount of time that I get with you. I know your life is busy and your time is valuable, so I want to take as much quality content as I can and pack it into 10 minutes to make it easier for you to listen and easier for you to share with friends. I felt led to start the Lead Me Lifecast to encourage you in your faith and in your relationships with others, and especially those you love. And in this first episode of this new chapter of the Lead Me Lifecast, I'm going to give you a glimpse into the first session of the very first Lead Me Live Men's Conference that happened in Toledo, Ohio at my home church on January 30th. Today, I'm going to talk about something that changed my life over the past 7 years. And I hope that even if you've heard parts of this story before, that it has a fresh impact on you and that it gives you the desire to take new action steps in your relationship with God and with others. This is Good Intentions, Part 1. Wherever you're at in life, I just want you to know that you're welcome here. I want to thank you just for being here with us. When I first started this conference, I was gearing it towards young guys. I actually was gearing it more towards just married and fathers and husbands. And I had a 60-some-year-old guy come up to me and say, please, you know, don't leave the other guys out of this thing because we all want to grow together. And so this, the vision for this has been expanding. So no matter where you're at in life, thank you so much for being here. The beginning of this journey for me to where I'm standing today on this stage, I mean, it's long, obviously, but it started the Lead Me story about 7 years ago. I've been married to my wife, Sarah, for almost 14 years. Well, I think it'll be 15 years now in July. I better get that one right. I don't want to mess up the anniversary on stage. That'd be bad. Actually, Joel, do you have a picture of my family here? So you can get to know us. There we go. There's my wife, Sarah. This is my home church. So we're actually right out back here in this picture. We got Sarah and then our four kids. We got Emmy, who's 9. Claire's now 7. This is a little older, actually. Bowen's 5 now, and Lewis is a baby here, but he's actually 3 at this point. God's blessed me with this family. And as I've been touring, as you know, with the band Sanctus Real over the past 20 years, which I still can't believe it's been 20 years, and I still can't believe it's over. You know, last November, I stepped out of this life, and then there's a reason that I stepped out of that life. And it's not because, you know, I didn't like the guys or there's anything wrong with what we're doing. It was just that God had been calling me for some time, putting a restlessness inside of me to just be with my family, to love my family better. My lifestyle out on the road wasn't really conducive to being the kind of father and husband, leader and friend that I desired to be really a lot of the years that I was in the band. So 7 years ago, though, was the day that I really started a brand new journey in my life. And that was the day that my wife, Sarah, she sat me down at our table in our house. I mean, it was hard because, you know, I'm a guy with good intentions. I love my wife. I love my kids. I was a good guy, Christian guy. But man, my wife sat me down across from the table, kind of like this. And she just said, you know what? With tears in her eyes, she said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I need you to be better for me. I need you to be a better leader. I need you to be a better husband. I need you to be here for me emotionally. I need you to be here for me spiritually. I mean, she called me out. She was like, when was the last time you prayed with me? When was the last time you read your Bible with me? You know, I know you're a Christian guy. I know you read your Bible. I know you pray, but I need you to lead me in your emotions and your spiritual life and your lifestyle on the road, touring. It's like our life is just chaos. And I saw the tears in her eyes. And that day, I don't know what it was. it just kind of made its way through the armor. You know, a lot of times I like to say that guys have two ears, women have four. You know, we got these two, things go in and out. Women have these ones and they catch everything. You know, it's like everything's processing here. And sometimes as guys, when our wives speak to us, we hear it, but we don't take it in right here. And that day, after a really difficult season in our marriage, this is probably why it was hard for me to hear that day. Because I walked into that conversation defensive. I was defensive because we were in a season in our marriage that was not good. There were walls between us. We were fighting. It felt like all the time. Bickering at each other. You know the cycle. You've been there. And if you haven't been there, if you're not married, you've seen it with other people. Love and Respect calls it the crazy cycle. It just keeps going round and round and round until somebody breaks it. And we were in the crazy cycle. And we were just at each other. And so, man, my defenses were high. So when she sat me down, you know, I wanted to be defensive. But for whatever reason, like I said, my heart heard what she said to me that day. And I took it in. And it started to change me in a way that I can't describe. And it's really funny because, you know, people always ask me, well, what did she say to you? And it's particularly women always want to know from my wife, like, what did he say to him, you know, that shaped him up that day, all the time? And her response is actually even funnier because she always tells people, she says, well, I don't know what I said differently that day because I told him 1,000 times. And he didn't listen. and so, but that day, I don't know why, it's something inside me just sparked. And I knew that it was time for me to take a brand new journey. So my wife gets up from the table. I don't know what she did. She left and I was left there to ponder and think about the things that she had told me, the things that she had said to me, and whether or not I was going to take her seriously or whether I was just going to let it be another conversation that I didn't listen to. And that day, I really felt it. I processed through music, as some of you know. And so that day, I picked up my guitar. And it was funny, I was sitting at the dining room table and right behind me, there was like a little wall table with some photos on it and our wedding picture was there. I have a picture of my wedding photo here, Joel, if you wanna. So if you're wondering why there are two girls in this photo, I'm sorry. Okay, you can take it down now. Please take it down. I had to embarrass myself with that one. Hey, it was the style back then, you know? At least for me it was. But it was. It was sitting behind me, and I saw Sarah's face in that photo. And you know what? Her eyes just looked so... I remember her eyes looked so pure, like innocent in a way, like so excited about our wedding day. It was like it was before all those awful fights. It was before all the things that I shouldn't have said came out of my mouth. It was before I failed to lead her in the way that she desired to be led. And I saw it. I could just see it in her eyes. And I just started to weep because I just said, man, you know what? That's not what my wife looks like right now because her face is heavy. Her spirit's heavy. Her countenance is heavy. And I just remember thinking, how do I get back to that? How do I get back to that? And I knew it wouldn't be a short process, but I knew that it would be a journey. And what I learned that day was this, that I needed to start my journey from being a man of good intentions to becoming a man of action. Because good intentions, actually, you know what? I want to put this quote on the screen if you have my quote up there. This one right here, this is what I want you to remember today. Good intentions are worthless until they become actions based in the reality of what people we love actually need from us. If you take one thing away today from this session, I want you to take that. Good intentions are not enough at all. Not enough. What was it that my wife said to me that day? What was it that I actually needed to do to take steps towards being a better husband and leader?
I'm Matt Hammett, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Lead Me Lifecast. Our next episode will be part 2 of Good Intentions. If you like what you heard today, share it with a friend. You can find me as Matt Hammett on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And find links to previous episodes and live events at matthammettmusic.com.